Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to read you this little story here real quick. And it says there was an American Indian who was given his testimony in a gathering of Christian members of his tribe. He told of his conversion and how at the beginning he felt as though he would never sin again. And he was so happy in knowing his Savior. But he explained as time went on, he became conscious of an inward conflict, which he described somewhat as follows. "It seems, my brothers, I have two dogs fighting in my heart. One is a very good dog and beautiful white dog, and he is also watchful out for my best interests. The other is a very bad dog, a black dog who's always trying to destroy things and that I want to see built up. These dogs give me a lot of trouble because they're always quarreling and fighting with each other." One of the hearers looked up and asked ironically, "Which one wins?" And the other instantly replied, "Whichever one I say sick 'em to." So you make the determination. Which dog are you going to listen to in your life? The one who's being negative or the one who's being positive? Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to start off and I'm going to read you Psalm 37, 3 through 9. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, and those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." You know, years ago when I used to come into this church, one of the main songs that Audrey used to play, she would play that song, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait." And I bet we sang that probably just almost every Sunday, it seemed like. But, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to wait on God. And as we wait on him, then he always meets us in special ways. You know, one of the other scriptures that the Lord was giving me was, John 15, 7 through 9. And I believe this is where we really need to be. And this goes along with even some of the things that was said here. And it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love." And you know, when we talk about abiding in him, you know, he talks about in Scripture about us being a tree or a branch that was engrafted into the natural olive tree of Israel, you know. And you know, Cynthia sang that song, "Thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters," you know. And, you know, that's a great song. And truly, God wants us to be a fruitful people. He wants us to bear fruit. You know, in the book of Revelations, There was two trees, one on either side of the crystal stream that flowed out of the throne of God. And those trees, they bear 12 manner of fruit. And 12 is the number for governmental perfection. And he wants to bring about his governmental perfection into the earth. And the way he'll bring that about is through the fruit of the Spirit that God allows to be in your life. Because, you know, as God brings forth fruit in your life, people see that fruit and they can't resist it. You know, if you watch people go through the grocery store, they're always either picking up bananas or this or that or some kind of fruit, because fruit is refreshing and it makes you feel better when you eat fruit, gives you energy. I happen to love grapes, and I've told you different stories about grapes. But, you know, we have to begin to allow the fruit of God to touch the lives of those around us. And, you know, when I was a kid, if I walked through an apple orchard, inevitably I'd pick an apple if it was ripe, whether I was supposed to or not. You can't hardly resist it. You know, or if you, the man next door to me used to have a grape arbor, and he didn't do anything with the grapes, and I used to climb over there and eat those. They were purple Concord grapes when they would get ripe. But I've told you all the story before, but I used to try them even when they weren't ripe. And you know what? They were really bitter. There's nothing as bitter as a grape that's not ripe. But I tell you what, it didn't keep me from going back and keep trying and trying and trying. And in your life, you know, God wants to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And as he brings forth that fruit of the Spirit in you, creation's not going to be able to resist it. And it's going to have to do with his love. And you know, that scripture I just read you about, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. We have to abide in him. We have to ask him on a daily basis, Lord, what would you have me do today? You know, a lot of times we think abiding in him is a very complicated thing. It's really not. It's a very simple thing. All we have to do is approach the Lord on a daily basis and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? And sometimes he'll tell you to do something, and sometimes he won't tell you to do anything. And you know what? Then you just treat people the way that you want to be treated. You be nice to people. You do good works when it comes to other people. And you know, that will affect their life more than any sermon you can preach them, more than anything else, if you just treat people decently and are nice and decent to them. And that word there, where it says, if you abide in my word, the word for if there, it makes reference to time and to experience. And the word abide is a primary verb. It means to stay in or give place, state of relation or expectancy. So when you're abiding in him, do you have an expectancy every day to see God move? Do you have an expectancy to watch him minister through you to other people, or to see his hand move mightily? You know, if you don't have that expectancy, then, you know, you're not really abiding in him, you know. And we need to abide in him. We need to have an expectancy, you know. And, you know, Scripture says that we're saved by hope. And it says, what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it, you know. And one of the words for the translation of the word hope means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. Do you anticipate with pleasure what God's going to do? Do you have that anticipation? When you come in here, do you have that anticipation that God's going to minister to your heart, that he's going to speak to you? If you don't, you probably won't get anything. If you do, you will. You know, yeah, that's right. Even in the bad times, that's right. You know. But anyway, that word abide there means that. It's a primary verb. It means to stay in a given place or state of relationship or expectancy. And then in, the word in there is a primary preposition. It denotes a fixed position in place, time, or state, relationship of rest. Do you have that relationship of rest? Are you in a fixed position of rest in God? You know? If you're not, then you need to ask him, Lord, let your words abide in me that I might abide in you. And the word, therefore, is word, is a word that means utterance, individual, collectively, or specially. Properly, that which has been uttered by a living voice. It's not necessarily always just this word here. This word's great. And God will speak to you out of this word. But he'll speak to you out of your innermost being, too. And if you'll ask him, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit's saying to me today, he'll give you those ears because he wants you to hear from him. But when you hear from him, then you have to be willing to be a doer of the word that he gives you, see? And it means properly that which is being uttered by a living voice, a thing spoken. And it means a sound produced by a voice having a definite meaning. And then, you know, in the Greek lexicon, it means to seize with the mind. When he speaks to you, do you seize it with your mind? Do you say, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be upon you, that my thoughts are your thoughts, that I begin to just think about you all the time rather than thinking about everything else. You know, back in Sunday school, there was something said about, you know, the little things in life, you know, are sometimes turned into the giants. I got news for you one time, and I've shared this with you before, but the Lord gave me a real deep visitation one time. And in this visitation, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, son, rise and kill the fox. And I didn't know what that meant. I mean, I was a pretty young Christian at that time, and I didn't know what that meant. And I kind of questioned the Lord. Well, Lord, what's that mean? What's that mean? I came to church about a week or so later, and Brother Eddie got up and preached a sermon on the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things in life that get you. It's the little things. It's the things that you let get in there in between you and God, that you let turn you away from doing what God's telling you to do because somebody else is maybe slipping a little fox in there. They're slipping that little thing in there that would really just pull you away or get in the way, you know. And you know, so many times, any time that you're wanting to do something, you feel like the Lord's wanting you to do something, don't put it off. Do what he tells you to do. You know, I've heard people say, well, I felt like I had a prophetic word for somebody, but I held it. Don't hold it. If God gives you a prophetic word for somebody, go give it to him. If he lays it on your heart to call somebody and encourage them or tell them you love them or whatever, don't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow might not be good enough. They need it today. They need you to move today. You know, I got another little story here I wanted to read you too. And in this little story, I like this because this is a lady that's got some tenacity. There was an elderly lady. She was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. She would stand on her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" You know? And you know, I just shouted that because Scripture says, let everything that hath breath do what? You breathing out there? Are you breathing out there? Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamation that he would shout, "There ain't no Lord!" And hard times set in on the elderly lady, and she prayed to God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord! God, I need food, and I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." The next morning, the lady went out on her porch and noted a large bag of groceries and shouted, "Praise the Lord!" And the neighbor jumped out from behind the bush and said, "Aha! I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and praising the Lord. And she said, "Not only did God send me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them. Praise the Lord!" And I'll tell you what, if you abide in him and you do what God tells you to do, he'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. He'll make even your enemies give to you. You know, when Israel came out of Egypt, they went to all of their neighbors. And God caused all of their neighbors to begin to give them gold and begin to give them all kind of things. And when they went out full. They had a lot of stuff because when they got out into the wilderness, they were able to make all the tabernacle and all the different things. But I'm going to tell you what, God will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. They'll cause them to give into your bosom if you'll have that attitude of, God, I'm looking to you and I'm going to praise you. And a lot of times God uses people, and he uses people like this man that lived next door to her. She called him the devil, but really what he was an accuser of the brethren. He was accusing her that God wasn't real. But you know what? God used him to show he was real. And she had enough wisdom to understand that. And so many times, you know, I can remember years ago, my mother, she was a very proud person. And she had a car and it was acting up, you know. And a lot of times when she'd make a left-hand turn, that car would want to die. And it was a nice car, and she put it in the shop different times, and they just could not figure out what was causing that car to do that. And, you know, I've told you this story before too, but she basically told me she was praying that the Lord would help her get another car. Well, my brother, his business was going pretty good, and I was working for him at the time. And I remembered a story he told my mom when he was little, that he was going to buy her a Cadillac when he grew up. So I reminded him of the story. You know, and, you know, he called my mom up and told her he wanted to buy her a car, not a Cadillac, though. He bought her a Cavalier. It still had a C in the front of it, but it wasn't a Cadillac. But he wanted to buy her a new car. And she called me up and she says, "Well, that dub, he called me and he wants to buy me a car." And she says, I told him I can't let him do that. And you know what I said to her? I said, "Mother, wasn't you asking God to make a way for you to get a different car?" And she got real quiet and she says, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Mother, are you not going to let God give you the new car?" I said, "What you need to do is just say, 'Praise the Lord, God, I thank you for it.'" And I said, "Tell him thanks, but give the thanks where they belong, to the Lord." And you know what? She let him buy the car. And she had that car for a lot of years until my sister wrecked it. But you know what? So many times, we not only will ask God to do something, but we want him to do it the way we want him to do it, instead of just standing back and watching what he does. And, you know, so many times we just don't understand. If we'll just abide in him and let his word abide in us. And like I say, that word is the word that he makes real to you for that day. You know, I like what they were talking about, you know, giving us one scripture a day for a kid or whatever. That's good for anybody. That's good for you. That's good for me. Whatever scripture the Lord's speaking to you today, that's the one for you. You know, and you need to just abide in that word and do whatever that word tells you to do. And ask the Lord to help you fulfill his promises, whatever he's promising to do in your life at that particular moment. Because a lot of times we turn around and we'll ask the Lord. I heard somebody say one time, and this was an older Christian that used to go to church here. I heard this person say, "You know, I'm called to the missions." You know, called to the missions. And they would get upset because there wasn't a lot of mission stuff going on. You know what? They were supposed to go out and do some mission stuff. You don't have to have somebody organize something for you. You know, I met a lady yesterday, and she was a niece of my uncle that passed away on the other side of that family. Well, I had never met her before. She came up to me after the ceremony, which I closed in the ceremony. And she was just kind of bubbling over, and she told me she appreciated the things I said and all this and that. And she said, you know, she said, after I heard all the things that Uncle Bob did, you know, and how he was always helping people constantly throughout his whole life, and the Lord let him, and I was telling this back in Sunday school, the Lord let him live to be 89 years old. And even when he went in a nursing home because he couldn't walk hardly anymore because he'd fall all the time, and they had him in a wheelchair, he went in a nursing home. He got in there, and after he was in there for a short span of time, guess what? He organized the people in the nursing home. Yeah, they started coming to him and telling him the problems. He'd take it to the administration, and he'd say, well, you know, they got this problem, and they need this done, and they need that done, you know. But he was always helping people that his whole life, and that's what he did. He worked through the community chest building helping people. Well, she said to me, she said, you know, I didn't know Uncle Bob did all that stuff. And he did that for 50-something years, you know, that kind of stuff. And she said, I didn't know he did that stuff. She said, maybe that's where I get it from. And I said, well, what do you do? She says, well, I have a ministry over in Hamilton. I said, what do you do? She says, we go find the people under the bridges and the derelicts and stuff like that. We give them soap. We give them food. He said, we take them food. She said, we minister to them, you know. And she said, and I wondered where that come from in me. She said, I just felt like I was supposed to do that. And she takes people out, and they go out and find these people, and they give them food. They give them stuff to clean themselves up, and they give them clothes, and they give them whatever they happen to seem to need. If God's called you to missions, be a missionary. If he's called you to be a helper, be a helper. You know, you can't be a helper if you ain't willing to get in there and help. And you're waiting for somebody to come tell you, well, you're supposed to be helping. No, that isn't what that's all about. Whatever God's calling you to do, do that. If he's calling you to call people on the phone and be an encourager, call and be an encourager. If he's calling you to send out cards to people, be a person that sends out cards. If he's calling you to be a good neighbor to the next door neighbor and cut their grass when they're gone on vacation, go cut their grass. And I tell you what, that will speak more volumes to them than 15 scriptures that you might quote them. If you'll go and do something for them and actually show them that you care enough to do something, then you might find out that all of a sudden, like Roger, and that's how, isn't that sort of how Roger started coming to church on Wednesday nights? You guys were doing things for him all the time and helping him. Next thing you know, they used to say he'd be sitting out here in the parking lot waiting for the door to open. He was Catholic, wasn't he?
His wife was. He went to a
Well, anyway, he wasn't real involved in a church or anything like that, but he came to those Wednesday night services all the time, didn't he? And he couldn't act like he couldn't. From what I heard, he act like he couldn't wait to get here to be part of them. But see, that's the thing, is that so many times we sit back and we wonder. And I'm gonna tell you what, it's like, I'm not trying to lay this on you guys out here, but I'm just telling you, sheep beget sheep. Shepherds don't beget sheep. Shepherds take care of the sheep. If God's called you to be a sheep, be a sheep. Beget some sheep. Start witnessing to somebody. Some of you guys probably haven't witnessed to nobody in years. Told them about what the Lord means to you and why you love the Lord. You know, and some of you probably might do it all the time. But I'm going to tell you, do what God tells you to do. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll do that, you'll find out that God will let that fruit flourish in your life. And he'll cause you to be just an encourager and a minister to everybody that you come in contact with. And so many times you'll find people starting to come and ask you to pray for them, start asking you to remember this one or that one in prayer. And you know what? You need to do that. And a lot of times what you need to do is grab them right there wherever they're at and pray with them right there. Because a lot of times when people call and ask me, they say, Oscar, will you pray for me about something? I don't say, well, y'all remember you in prayer most of the time. Most of the time I pray with you right there, don't I? Because you know what? That's when the prayer is needed. It's not needed a week later or 3 weeks later when I happen to remember that you asked me to pray for somebody. And that's the same with you guys. But let's begin to move out. Let's begin to abide in him and let his word abide in us. And if we'll do that, we're going to find out that our light will break forth. And that light, it'll dispel the darkness in people's lives. And lives will begin to be changed. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. I didn't get into everything I was going to share today, but that's all right. Everybody stand up, and we'll go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to be glorified in this assembly here, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you would just begin to lay on each one's heart what you've called us to do, and that we would begin to fulfill. And I'm not saying that we're not fulfilling it, because maybe you are fulfilling everything God's telling you to do. But ask him on a daily basis, Lord, what would you have me do today? And when you run upon situations, pray and say, Father, what should I do? What would you have me even say? Before you even speak out sometimes, what would you have me say? And you'll find that a lot of times he'll have you say just exactly the right thing. You know, when I got to that service yesterday, I was a little bit late because I had a little bit of a hard time getting there. And I didn't hear the minister who opened the ceremony yesterday, what he said at first. But when I closed, my cousin came up to me, and he talked about his dad. He came up to me and he says, I just want to tell you, he said, it fit together just like that. He said, the things that you said was a lot of the things that he said right at the first. And he said, it just dovetailed right in together. But that's what God is. He's someone who will dovetail things. He'll make them fit. He'll make them go together. And if you'll just ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? In dealing in any situations. And I think a lot of times we try to handle something before we ask God, how should I handle this situation? And then sometimes it becomes a mess, and it really shouldn't be a mess, you know, if we just ask him first. But Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that you would just let your people begin to move forward in a greater and greater way, because creation out there is crying, and they're saying we would see Jesus. And Father, I ask you to let them see the spirit of your son rising in its body, and that you might be glorified in the earth. You know, that scripture, thank God I'm a tree. Father, we are trees of the Lord. And back in Sunday school, it was Isaiah 61 was read, and it talked about us being trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The Lord has planted you. And he's done all that he might be glorified. He wants to be glorified in you. And Father, I just thank you, and I ask you to bless our people here. And just begin to just pour yourself through them in greater and greater ways. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for everything that you do. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.